Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I think he's trying to get a point across when he says, I say it again. I say it again. The first time it's a joyce, the second time it's a rejoice. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Amplified is interesting. I like the Amplified. I saw this back a few months ago and it just blessed me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Then the Amplified says, delight, gladden yourself in Him. Again, I say rejoice. Notice that. Gladden yourself. Amen. Wait for circumstances to gladden you? No. Just gladden yourself. Gladden yourself. What does that mean? You put on, remember James says in James chapter number 1, count it all joy. Count it all joy. That just, some things are not something that you're rejoicing about. The circumstances, they don't, you know, present anything that makes you want to rejoice. But he just said, go ahead and do it anyhow. You don't rejoice for what the devil's doing. You don't thank God for what the devil's doing because you resist the devil, not thank God for what the devil's doing. Resist the devil. But right on the other hand, in the middle of all that's going on, don't just sit there and, you know, think about the problem and, you know, get down and depressed and heavy and burdened and sad. He didn't say sadden yourself. He said gladden yourself. Thinking on the problem, you'll be saddening yourself. Amen. And you won't drink in of the Spirit by just thinking about all that's going on, all the, you know, what am I going to do, worrying, fretting, so forth and so on. You'll actually sadden yourself by thinking on all that. But God wants us in the tests and trials of life, you and I need strength. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so to get through things, because you don't want to stay there, right? If you're in some sort of circumstance, you don't want to stay there. You want to, you know, the Bible says over in Psalm 23, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't camp there. We go on through. Faith doesn't mean you won't encounter anything that you won't ever go through anything. It just means you keep on going through. You get to the other side of it. That's why we're patient with people. And that's why God's patient with us. Because He knows we can get to the other side. Praise the Lord. But you won't get there all weak and depressed. Weakness and depression will keep you right in the middle of the test and the trial. Amen. You know, like the tests and trials have a way of grabbing our attention and locking it into what's going on. Every little detail that comes up, every little thing the devil says, every little thing somebody else says, every little circumstance, every setback. You know, the devil wants to grab your attention and lock your attention in on what he's saying, what's going on, and so forth and so on. This verse is telling us to gladden ourselves, which means you got to get your mind and attention on the Lord. Because he said, gladden yourself, the Amplified says, in Him. In Him. In other words, rejoice in the in Him scriptures. Rejoice in who you are in Christ. Amen. When you do that, you'll start drinking in of the Spirit, which will strengthen you and, edify you and give you the strength to stand and resist the devil and keep on going through it and get out of it. Amen. Like somebody said, you and I are supposed to have a drinking relationship with the Lord, not a thinking relationship. What does that mean? A drinking relationship. That means we know Him in the edification and the gladdening that comes by drinking in of the Spirit and rejoicing in times of trial rather than knowing Him in trying to figure it all out, thinking about all the things we've got to decide. What about this? How are we going to do this? And so forth and so on. Just get full of God, full of the Holy Ghost, drink of the Spirit, and get glad. And in that place, you'll see exactly what to do. And it won't be something you figured out. It'll be something that God actually is actually the answer, actually the way out. Amen. So gladden yourself. That's not something God does for you. I said that's not something God does for you. And that's not something that happens because the circumstances are finally over. Come on now. You don't wait for outside circumstances to gladden you. Woo, it's all gone. The doctor gave me a good report. I'm so happy. Well, you know, if you were in faith, that would have been old news. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. That's what I tell people sometimes. It's like, that's old news. Somebody comes and said, the doctor said this. The doctor, you know, some good report. The doctor said this. And I said, that's old news. We knew that already. Come on now. Amen. It'd be like you waking up. When was the Super Bowl? Back in February? Was it the beginning of March sometime? It'd be like you coming to church all excited because somebody won the Super Bowl. You're like, that's old news. That happened a long time ago. Come on now. I'm going to preach myself happy. People that know the word, they know ahead of time how it's going to turn out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says in the Amplified, gladden yourself in him. That just means gladden yourself in the Lord and in the in Christ realities by rejoicing in them ahead of time when you don't even feel like they're so. Rejoice that you have right standing with God. Rejoice that the blood has made you worthy. Rejoice that you have a covenant and that in all the blessings of God. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly. Make that something that you talk about all the time. Number one, keep your attention on that. Number two, talk about it all the time. Praise the Lord. You know, 1 Samuel chapter number 30, verse number 6. You might not know, but you'll remember it whenever I say it. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. The Bible talks about David having one of the deep, the heaviest trials of his life. Enemies came while he was out on a military campaign and attacked his home city, took away his wives, burned the city, took all his possessions, took all the people, the children, all the soldiers' wives. Everybody's gone. The city's burned. He comes back and encounters that, and he's heavy-hearted about it, you know, and because, you know, his soldiers that are serving him, their wives are gone, and he feels responsible for it, you know. Besides that, everybody else is crying, and the Bible said they were talking about stoning David. How many of you know it's going from bad to worse? And so he's got all that pressure. He's the leader. He's the one responsible, and he's got this rumor going around. They're wanting to stone him, and you know, and I haven't had anybody wanting to stone me yet, but that's pretty bad. And so the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It didn't say God encouraged him. God will encourage you, won't he? He'll come along and breathe. The Holy Spirit will breathe something into your spirit and strengthen you. But this verse didn't say God said anything to him. It just said he stirred himself up. He encouraged himself. He picked his own lip up off the ground. You know, he just said, hey, we ain't going to get anywhere sitting around moping and crying and boo-hooing. We're going to have to stir ourselves up. Remember, it says, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 6, I believe it is. Or verse 5, it says, because of your faith. In verse 6, he said, stir up. Stir up the gift of God. Amen. There's some people in the congregation that need to stir themselves up. Well, there ain't nothing going my way. Well, of course not. With that lack of stirring, there's nothing going to go. There's no anointing going to fall on that. No power to set you free going to fall on that. Amen. Don't wait for God to do it. Don't wait for the pastor to preach a good sermon. Don't wait for the worship team. Don't wait until your wife comes home with that good worship CD you like to listen to. Amen. Well, that just helps my faith. It might be hindering your faith. Because you're depending on other people's faith to dip down into what's on the inside of you and grab that with the tongue, the dipper of your tongue, and pull it up out of you. Pull the encouragement up out of your spirit. How many of you know the greater one lives on the inside of you? And it can actually hinder your faith to depend on other people to stir you up. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. So really God's best is that you don't depend on other people to stir yourself up. I appreciate people that come along and encourage me. I thank God for it. But if I depended on that, I'd be one sad boy. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, glory to God. I'm gonna just practice what I'm preaching here. These verses are telling us, we just read there, gladden yourself. We read in 1 Samuel, David encouraged himself in the Lord. We read there in 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God. He didn't say, Timothy, I'm going to come over there in about a month and I'm going to preach some good sermons and get you stirred up. He said, no, you stir yourself up. People that make it are self-starters. They don't wait for somebody to encourage them. Amen. Whenever heaviness gets on their head, depression is pounding on their head, they get out of the bed. And they shout. And they dance. Someone said, I don't feel like it. Well, put your feelings on an idol and bow down and worship them then. Because that's where you're putting them. You're making them a god. You're making them higher than the word. And that's idolatry. There's plenty of things I don't feel like doing. Amen. Some people I don't feel like being nice to. You know what I'm talking about? But I be nice anyhow. If you go by your feelings, they're going to make you... a whole lot of stuff. They're going to make you a whole lot of stuff. So gladden yourself. Develop the spiritual habit and the spiritual... develop yourself in faith to the place you gladden yourself. Hallelujah. The psalmist in Psalm 42, verse 5, and he said this on three different occasions in the Psalms. He said in Psalm 42, 5, why are you... He's talking to his soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you all worked up? Disquieted means all worked up on the inside of me. Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him. He's the help of my countenance. So he's talking to himself. I said he's talking to himself. Learn that habit. Learn to talk to yourself. Because self is talking to you. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? You need to talk back. You need to answer it. Answer the word. Answer with the word. Your feelings with the word. Answer suggestions of disobedience with the word. Answer oppression, depression, emotional heaviness. Answer that with the word. I'm just going to wait until it goes away. It's not going to just go away. You're going to live with that for the rest of your life. Started trying to get on me as a teenager. I know what I'm talking about. That's why I get a little bit perturbed at people, because I didn't have any encouragement. I left home with nobody supporting me. $500 in my pocket, out on my own, on the plan of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And I stirred myself up. There were times I got in my room with my Bible, put my Bible on the ground, and stood on it physically and said, I will not quit. I'm standing on those words. Counted it all joy. Came out of there with a smile on my face. Didn't hardly have a dime, didn't have hardly any support, no hardly any friends. I'm in a brand new city, never had been further west than the St. Louis Arch. Whenever I was a kid, we went to the vacation in St. Louis. Now I'm way beyond that, out in the land where I don't even know where it is. Indians around here, you know, where they might shoot at you. No, I'm just kidding. But it was a new place, a new atmosphere, and I had to stir myself up. I have nobody to encourage me. Well, thank God for it. You got a wonderful opportunity to use your faith. Are you with me? Now, go over to Ephesians 5, verse 17. We got to keep rolling here. Ephesians 5, 17. It tells us something interesting. These verses have been standing out to me. It says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of God. How many of you want to know what the will of God is? That's something I'm interested in. When it comes to the will of God, there's the general will for all of his children. And then there's a specific will. But Paul goes on in verse number 18 and tells us the general will of God for all of us. He said in verse 17 again, therefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that means he's connecting what he just said to what he's getting ready to say. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And you know, the Greek actually has a play on the words, be being filled with the Spirit. It's not, you know, I got filled with the Spirit back in 1979 and spoke with tongues, so I'm filled with the Spirit. Well, maybe back then you were, but that doesn't make it automatic today. You got to be continually, like the Greek says here, be being continually filled with the Spirit. Amen. Say, be being.
Be being.
That's a continual thing, isn't it? Yes. And so, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves. Yes. Oh, so that's like what he was talking about, gladden yourself.
Yes. Yes.
You got to talk to yourself. That's what David did. He talked to himself. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so this is the will of God for every believer in the New Testament. God has in the for the New Testament believer, he's provided a means whereby all of us really, to be honest with you, can and should be continually filled with the Spirit. It's talked about here by speaking in supernatural utterances. He calls them here psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So we're saying them to ourselves and to the Lord. This is God's plan for all of us as believers. And his plan is that we be continually filled with the Spirit. That doesn't always mean we're falling over drunk, laughing. It just means we're continually refreshed. I mean, we have times where we've seen it. He said here, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled continually with the Spirit. In other words, there must be a correlation between being drunk on alcohol with being drunk on the Spirit. There's not a hangover because of being filled with the Spirit. You never wake up the next morning and say, I wish I hadn't have said that to my wife. Like people that get drunk on alcohol do, you know. Amen. But it will refresh you and get you over some things. People on Friday night, I've had a hard week. I got to go take a drink. I got to go get drunk. They want to forget their problems and wash them all away. Well, that's a cheap substitute for what God had planned for us all along.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He says, go ahead, drink. Get rid of your problems. Drink them away.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Not on alcohol, but on the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Be filled.
Yes, sir.
Continually filled. Be being filled. Glory. Hallelujah. Singing. Making melody in your heart. Giving thanks. All those words are in there, aren't they? So really, this is God's entrance into the refreshing you need in so many of the circumstances of life. These are divine instructions. And it's waiting. This filling, this refreshing, this edification, spiritual edification that we need in the circumstances of life, they're waiting on us to respond to this. Those refreshings and so forth, all those things are waiting on us to respond to this.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
They're waiting on us to be doers of this word.
Amen.
Remember, the Bible said, be doers of the word.
Yes,
in other words, they're waiting for us to yield to this. We don't have to create this flow. This flow is just something we are able to yield to, and it'll get us into the refreshing, get us into the edification, get us into the strength we need to stand and not quit, not give in. Get us, you know what I'm talking about? If you've been encountering temptations that you've continually fallen into, practice this. It'll give you what you need to.
Yes.
The Bible said, remember over in the Galatians, it said, because people get it in reverse sometimes, it said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. People say, well, if I could just stop the flesh, I'd get into the Spirit. That's not the way it works. No, get into the fullness of the Spirit and you'll have what it takes to overcome the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Oh, glory. I know what I'm talking about. Tell your neighbor, you do too. You're just acting like, oh, you're all cool. Hallelujah. So, if you look at this closely, he's talking about yielding to this. using our faith to step over, unhook our tongue from our minds and what we're thinking, and hook it up to the things that are down in our spirit, what we know because we've gotten the word planted in our spirit. And just start drawing up those words, drawing up, start edifying ourselves. And he said, as we sing and praise God, I mean, Pastor Debbie illustrates this so often in our services. I've been meaning to tell you for a long time. That was awesome on Wednesday night. Wasn't that awesome?
Yes.
Could you just feel the refreshing, the edification?
Yes, sir.
Someone's like, ooh, that was refreshing. Guess what? That lives on the inside of you.
Yes, sir.
That's a demonstration,
yes, sir,
of what we should all be doing,
yes,
in our time of fellowship with God. When you're driving down the road, why don't you just practice turning off the radio and start dipping down in here and start drawing it up. You'll be amazed at what comes up out of you and the difference it makes in your day. You'll be amazed.
Amen.
So this is a matter of yielding to this. Say yield. Paul and Silas were in jail in Acts 16. And remember that? They were beaten, commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Their backs are bleeding. Their feet are in stocks. And the Bible said Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So they're in there. They got their feet fast in stocks. And they started out by praying. It said prayed and sang praises. So they started out by praying. And as they finished their prayer, and they looked up, and they wiped the sweat and the blood out of their eyes. They looked up. There was a sign on the wall of the jail. It said Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Yield here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The yield sign. There you go.
The yield sign.
Yes, sir.
You know what a yield sign is? If you're getting on a highway, it'll have a yield sign. And it's where you can, if you'll take that little avenue there, it'll get you into the flow of the traffic. And Paul and Silas, they looked up and they said, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, yield here. Oh, here's our way out of jail. Paul said, I remember writing that. That was the Holy Ghost. So they started yielding. They had prayed. And then they started singing praises. Just started drinking of the Spirit, getting full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, just saying, it starts bubbling on the inside. And they started yielding, and the power fell. And they got out of there. I said, they got out of there. Somebody wants to get out. I can tell. Somebody wants to get out this morning. Glory. Well, just look up, because there's a yield sign. See, by all these instructions here in Ephesians, if you just put a, you ought to put a little square box out by Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Put a little square box and put yield here.
Yes.
Put a sign, right? See, by every one of these scriptures, there's a yield sign.
Yes.
This is how you get out. This is how you get out of whatever. Whatever's going on in your life. Oh, glory.
Glory.
I said glory.
Glory.
Woo. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it out loud. Yield here. Glory be to God. It's a faith thing. That's what Paul's trying to say. It's a faith thing. Smith Wigglesworth was asked, I wrote this down, he was asked, how there got to be such a flow of God's power in his life? His answer was, I kept yielding and yielding and yielding. I like that.
Amen.
Glory. I said, I like that. In other words, he saw, I guess, I don't know, saw these verses and started realizing that he could yield to the Holy Ghost and get full of the power of God. And so he started practicing that. And really, by every one of these verses, there's a yield here. I mean, you go to the tithing verses and the giving verses. There's a yield sign by that. Yield here. Here's how you get in the flow of financial prosperity. Glory. So all that, every verse in the Bible has a yield sign by it. And it's how you get out of whatever you're dealing with. You remember, like Smith Wigglesworth said, what he's saying is, he's basically telling us that he practiced using his faith to draw this flow of speaking praise and worship to God under divinely inspired utterances. Did you hear that?
Yep.
He practiced this flow of speaking. See, this is better than what we mostly say most of the week. This is why some of us aren't fuller than we are. Because this is a discipline of the tongue. A learning of the tongue. We've got to stop speaking naturally all week long and take some time to yield our tongue to what's down in our spirit and praise God and draw up these utterances, and the Holy Ghost will help us. Because these are divinely inspired. When Paul said in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. He's talking about speaking in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We look at that through our Western thinking, and we think he's just talking about, open your hymnal to hymn number 532. They didn't have a hymn book back then. They didn't have the printing press. They didn't have all that. These are not something written, a hymn in the hymnal or in some song sheet that they had printed off. They didn't have the printing press.
Right.
These are given by the spirit of prophecy.
Yes. Amen.
Well, Pastor, I'm not a prophet. Well, you don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. Prophesy doesn't just mean, predicting the future and revelation gifts. Prophesying, just in the Bible, says be speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so this is what you do whenever you speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Draw all these melodies up out of your heart that come up. Remember, he said, making melody in your heart. Up out of your spirit will come these melodies, and just start singing them out to the Lord. Well, it doesn't rhyme like Pastor Debbie does. It didn't. He didn't say singing and make sure it rhymes. Amen. No, you just sing it out. And listen, you'll get in a flow of this, and you'll start tapping into Holy Ghost bubbly. You know what I'm talking about? Like, whoa, yeah. It sort of washes the sadness away. And you gladden yourself in the Lord. You got up in the morning and you weren't ready for your day. You weren't ready for whatever the devil. You knew you had to face something that day. And you get edified. And before you did it, you were not looking forward to your day. But after you did this and you got edified, you're like, where's the devil? I'll take his head off.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Glory. You got edified.
Yes.
That's God's will for all of his children. If that's God's will, we ought to pursue God's will. I said we ought to pursue it, shouldn't we? We ought to be doers of this. What is it? It's speaking praises and worship to God by inspiration of the Spirit by the spirit of prophecy is what it is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If we'll be practicers or doers of the word, according to these verses, the Spirit will come and bless our actions of faith. Did you hear that?
Yep.
He'll come and bless our actions of faith.
Yes.
That just simply means when we start out to do this in faith and we start out to worship God out of our spirits, maybe not a song we've ever even heard, maybe just something, I worship you, Lord, start out and just something starts coming up and you just start yielding to that and yielding that, the Holy Ghost will bless that.
Sure.
He'll come and he'll inspire you and start bringing things to you to say. And get you over into the flow of this. And listen, tongues will edify you, but this will edify you further.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll tell you why. Because it takes more faith to speak out of your spirit in English than it does in tongues. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And because you're using more faith, there will be more edification.
Yes.
Because that's really what edifies us, is our faith. Exercising and using our faith. I said, I'm going to exercise and use my faith. And so if we'll learn to practice this, we'll have a deeper fellowship with God in the Spirit. I said, we'll have a deeper fellowship with God in the Spirit. And we'll be continually refreshed. And we'll have a move of the Spirit in our lives that we have not experienced up until that time. Amen. When I say a move of the Spirit, I'm not necessarily talking about revelation gifts. It could be miracles. That could be part of it. But I'm just talking about an edification, first of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I've grown in this, I've not needed to look to other people for my edification. We're all growing in this, aren't we? I've learned to just put my tongue down in my own spirit and stir myself up. Praise the Lord. And so if we'll practice this area of faith. See, this is an area of exercising faith, just like, you know, believing God for the rest of His will. All the other things that we have in the Word that are His will. But if we'll do this, it'll add a blessing to our walk in the Spirit. Amen. We'll be able to go further in God's plan. See, this is what is keeping some of us from going further in God's plan. This is God's plan. This is God's will. And so we've got to go further. How many of you want a further move of the Spirit in your life? This is how to get into that further move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Our spiritual experience will be enhanced manifold over. We'll actually be experiencing some of the things we see in the Word, but maybe haven't walked in. Amen. This really is going through the door into where the supernatural starts operating. Tell your neighbor, go on through the door. Hallelujah. Let's understand a little bit about this. First of all, this is primarily and first of all to be a part of our private prayer life. Yes. Someone said, okay, I'm going to really believe God. Next Sunday, I'm going to get up and prophesy in church like Pastor's talking about. This is first of all. Say first of all. What we're talking about is for your own spiritual edification. Notice he said speaking to yourselves. So it's for our own spiritual edification. It's to be a part of our prayer life. In our prayer life, in our we call it devotional time or whatever. How many of you know our whole life ought to be devotion? You know, but you know what I'm talking about. We understand what that term means. Our in that time of fellowship with God, maybe it's in the morning, whenever it is, we should be feeding on the Word. We should be praying in tongues also, praying about certain things that we're believing God for or something, just speaking the Word or so forth. But we should also be worshiping under inspiration of the Spirit. Amen. Now, you might not do all of those every morning.
Right.
Yes. I get up some mornings and I'm just hungry for the Word. Yeah. Other mornings, I just want to praise Him.
Yeah. Right.
I just want to praise Him.
Yeah.
And I just start praising Him.
Yes, sir.
And I walk back and forth up in my room. Hallelujah. And I just worship Him.
Yeah.
And things start coming up. Answers start coming up. I get edified.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I get the Holy Ghost bubbly.
Yeah. Amen.
Some of you looking at me like, you don't know what the Holy Ghost bubbly is. If you just tap into this, you'll know what the Holy Ghost bubbly is. It'll come up and you'll laugh, you'll praise, you'll dance, you'll do some other things. Well, if I ever dance, it'll be the Lord. That shows you greatly misunderstand all of this. It'd be like you saying, if I ever speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it'll be the Lord. No, he didn't say here that the Lord would do this. He said, you do it. You do it. In other words, this is not something. Somebody said, well, the spirit of prophecy, I mean, that's as the Spirit wills. Doesn't the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 12 that it's, what is that, verse 7 or something, that it's as the Spirit wills?
Yes, sir.
That is a diversity than what we're talking about here.
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 12, and I'll say this, Romans 12, 6. Is a diversity. There in Romans 12, 6, it talks about different giftings, and one of us, whoever has the gifting of prophesy, let him prophesy according to his proportion of faith. That is a diversity than what it's talking about here in Ephesians chapter number 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do I mean a diversity? The Bible talks about diversities of tongues.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are tongues for public utterance.
Yeah.
There are tongues that, and prophecy for public utterance. But there are also tongues and prophecy for private edification.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Say diversities.
Diversity.
This is where a lot of Christians get confused.
Yes.
They're just waiting on the Holy Ghost to give them one of these songs. He didn't say here in Ephesians, wait for the Holy Ghost to give you a song.
No,
he said, you speak with songs.
Yes.
In other words, the understood subject is you, and you do it by faith.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
This is something you can get into by stirring up yourself. This is not something that happens in the public service. That's a diversity. Are we making any sense? That's where I think if we understood these things, we wouldn't be sitting around, well, God just doesn't move in my prayer life like that. Well, it's because you haven't stepped out and taken the step of faith. And it'll bless you beyond whatever blessings you've had in your prayer life if you'll take the step of faith. I like that. Tell your neighbor, that helps me. First of all, you've got to understand that it's a part of your private prayer life. And then second of all, you've got to understand that in these verses here in Ephesians, it's not necessary for us to wait for the Holy Ghost to come on us and initiate this. Are you with me? Not everything the Spirit does in our life happens as He wills. Some things happen as He wills. Not everything happens as He wills. We gotta hear this, because this is where a lot of Christians are just sort of waiting for God to move this way, when it's not, He's waiting on them. See, He put a yield sign by Ephesians 5, 18 through 19, and they're sitting there going, what happens if I do that? When's the Holy Ghost going to come on? It's not going to Him come on you. It's going to be you yield. You yield. By faith. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, that's the answer for you. Be obedient to this word. What does it say? You, the understood subject is you. Don't be drunk with wine. Verse number 18. Don't be drunk with wine, but where in the text says, but be filled. The understood subject is you be filled. Well, how long do I have to wait for that filling to happen? Whenever you're ready to take a drink. John 7:37. Jesus is at the great feast. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Let him come unto me and drink. When I come to church and the Holy Ghost moves that way? No. You don't have to wait for that. You can drink at that time. But when you're thirsty. I've been thirsty much more than I get a drink of that in our services. I get thirsty all the time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I get that satisfied. If I wouldn't, you wouldn't be getting anything out of my preaching. You know what I'm talking about? I'd be low down and heavy and Amen. Ha ha ha. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers. There's rivers wanting to waiting on you to draw them up. And he said, this he spoke of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So no, it's not a matter of waiting for the Spirit to initiate this. It's waiting for us to yield. He's waiting for us to yield. And drink. He's waiting for us to dip our tongue down in our spirit and start. See, you ever heard Dad Hagin say, let me get my tongue hooked up to my spirit here?
Yes.
You ever heard him say that? See, he was talking about something that he had in his mind he wanted to say, and then he said, let me get hooked back up to my spirit. But see, you can do the same thing. You can be talking about natural things, and then you can stop and you can dip down into here. And draw up what's on the inside of you. And it'll refresh you, bless you. And I'll tell you, Ben, here's how answers come a lot of times. You've heard Richard Roberts talk about just drawing up and speaking out your answer out of your own spirit. This is how to do it. Well, Pastor, tell me what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Why don't you ask God what to do and get in this flow? Rivers. You get in the flow of the edification river and speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs river. It's like the rivers out here, the ones that come together and go into the Mississippi, the Cedar River and the Missouri River, wherever all these rivers are, they all go into the... When you take it, you just get in the river of speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual, it'll take you into another river.
Amen.
I've been there over and over again. You get in the river of flowing in the Spirit, and all of a sudden you start getting answers. Because you entered in from one river into another river. Out of your belly will flow rivers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can walk in a great measure of revelation, a great measure of power, a great measure of edification. as we do this. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, think about Stephen. You remember in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen, verse 8 of Acts. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Why was he so full of faith and power? So full of power. Because he kept using his faith to stay full. Some people, especially in the ministry offices, they have miracles because they have that gift of the Spirit operating in their life. Some people have it because they stay full.
All right, that's good. That's good. Amen.
Somebody say, which one would you prefer? Probably the second one, to be honest. And because I've seen too many preachers, they live carnal. They get in the pulpit and the gift starts operating. And they ruin their ministry because their own carnality, people lose all confidence in them. Are y'all? Personal opinion, that's not necessarily in the Word where it says anything about which one's best. But I believe the second one's best, where you just stay full. You just stay full. Well, you can do both of them, actually. A person could have a gift of the Spirit operating in their life, plus they could stay full. That'd be God's best, wouldn't it? So hallelujah. But Stephen had these miracles and the power of God flowing because he stayed full. Amen. What did Stephen do? He developed his faith to draw out what he needed for his own spiritual edification and his own filling. And he stayed full and he stayed refreshed. And as he did that, God could take that same faith and bring forth from Stephen the move of the Spirit that blessed and edified others. So that he could bring his supernatural supply to that local church and increase that local church. Ephesians 4:16. Every joint supply, if you remember. What would happen if everybody came to church full rather than needing something from God? Amen. Hallelujah. So God just took that same faith that he used to keep full and to keep himself edified. How many of you know if you're edified, then you got something to bless somebody else with? But if you're not edified, you're not going to edify anybody else. You need to be edified. But Stephen used his faith to stay edified, stay full. So God took that same faith and used that to bless everybody around him with it. You know, we ought to be people that people are blessed to get around us. Not blessed to get away from us. Anybody got people in your life you're glad when their plane flies back home? You know, so you, I don't want to be like that. I want to be people who want to be around me because I'm edified.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brother Miles is a good example, isn't he? Hallelujah. So, but every pastor knows that if somebody won't even practice a life of continually yielding to the Spirit, to receive their own spiritual edification, they're not going to bring any faith to make a supply of the Spirit to the local church to increase and bless the church. Well, pastor just gave some people a kick in the pants right there. In love. Amen. If you are always dragging, you can't supply the church with anything. Now listen, we all start out baby Christians. We all start out not knowing how to do this. We all start out more needing others to minister to us than we administer to others. You know that when a baby's born into your family, the Warners are a good example. They've got babies and babies and babies. Those babies are totally dependent on them for a long time. And that's fine. That's normal.
Yes,
but when they grow up, Matt wants them to do chores. And Katie wants them to bring a supply to this house. Isn't that right? Azzy got it going on right there. That's the way it is, isn't it right? So when we come into the kingdom of God, we come in, we just get born again, or we get back in fellowship with God. Yeah, we have needs. We got and guess what? God wants the body to supply and minister.
Yes, sir.
But there ought to come a time where we start growing and we start edifying ourselves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great day. Great day. When somebody calls and said, hey, I was going to set up that counseling appointment, but just go ahead and cancel it. Because I was in prayer this morning.
Yep. There you go.
And I got to singing and worshiping God, and I got my answer. It's like, whoa. Next time you come to church, let's have a party.
Yes, sir.
We'll take your binky and your blankie, and we'll hand you a maturity.
Yeah.
Something mature, you know?
That's right.
Glory.
Glory!
There are many benefits to growing up. Amen. So, the devil's so used to people, whenever circumstances come, just, and listen, praise the Lord, you shouldn't be here anymore if you've been in this church for 20 years. Every time circumstances, you get worked up in a tizzy, and you got, and you're all worked up. Where's your faith?
Come on.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Come on now.
102 years old, still sucking the nipple. You know what I'm talking about? Sucking your thumb. There ain't nobody 102, so we just hypothetical. Lady with warts sitting in the congregation, you know. Amen. Why don't you confuse the enemy? Rather than get worked up in a tizzy. See, I got some of you awake right there. Now you're paying attention. Rather than get worked up in a tizzy and call an Ann and being messed up and all worked up and anxious and... What you've been doing for 20 years?
Come on.
Why don't you confuse the enemy and us and start shouting, praising, getting full of the Holy Ghost, and getting that stuff off of you. Cast your care on the Lord and come into church edified with something that can bless somebody else. Amen. We'll be shell-shocked. We'll be like, whoa. Praise the Lord. Is the rapture coming tomorrow? What's going to happen? I mean, we can actually have revival now. Watch out. Amen. Sister Bucket Mouth, she got full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Confuse the enemy. Amen. Whenever the next time that heaviness tries to jump on your head, why don't you just go, "Hey, glory be to God." You'll shock your cat, you'll shock your dog, you'll shock all of us, and you'll be like, "Praise the Lord. Let's have a party. We're going to Sister so and so got weaned off her feelings." Oh, glory be to God. Come to church having something to bless somebody else. What a novel idea. Hallelujah. So first of all, we've got to understand that this is a part of our private devotional life. Second of all, we've got to understand that we're not necessarily being told to wait on the Holy Spirit or somebody else to gladden ourselves, to edify ourselves. Isn't that right? We initiate this. Hallelujah. So these instructions here in Ephesians are given us by the Spirit. These are inspired words given by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? And we can act on them in faith. Tell your neighbor, has it come down to faith again? Amen. You got the right to manifest this in your own private prayer life. Yes. Prophesying in my own private... I'm not talking about prophesying about, you know, tomorrow. So-and-so is going to give me this, and then I'll do that. And no, we're not talking about... That's revelation gifts. through prophecy. Simple prophecy is just edifying ourselves, speaking under inspiration of the Spirit. And he didn't say, and if you're a prophet, speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He just said, all believers, everybody, hallelujah, young, old, people that can sing and hold a tune, people that can't sing and hold a tune. Amen. People that rhyme, people that don't. People that sound like a bird croaking and people that sound melodious. All the birds are back in our land. You know, it's the summertime, springtime and summertime. They're all back singing their song. Some of them are. My little favorite is the little house wren. He's the littlest guy in the woods. He's about this tall. He's got the biggest, happiest song you ever heard.
Yeah.
I can't even do it. And it's real long and everything like that. And then you got these birds that sound like, ah, ah. You know? They're all making a joyful noise. That's what I meant when I said that. Rather you sound melodious or you sound like a bird croaking or something like that. Just go ahead. Everybody singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is what he's talking about. Praise the Lord. So, it's important. Notice in 1 Corinthians 12. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll look at a couple more verses here. We're about to wrap it up. 1 Corinthians 12, notice verse number 14 and 15. Paul said, I will, no, oh, verse 12, nope, no, wrong one. Where am I looking at? chapter 14, I said chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. For I will pray in an unknown tongue. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Wait a minute. Pray with the Spirit, what does that mean? Under inspiration of the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So Paul declared he would both sing and pray, both in the Spirit, that means by inspiration of the Spirit, and in his understanding. Notice he didn't say, I'll wait for the anointing to do this. He said, I will. I will. Isn't that what he said? In other words, singing with the Spirit could include singing in tongues. That would be singing with the help of the Spirit or the inspiration of the Spirit. But it could also include by the gift of prophecy or the spirit of prophecy. I will sing and pray both in tongues and in the spirit of prophecy. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, I wait as the Spirit wills for me to do that. He said, I do it. I will do it. He can do it at will. At will. Tell your neighbor, at will means you just do it and step out in faith. Hallelujah. So, you and I as believers are to develop our faith for this. That's what he's talking about. Faith to yield to the Spirit in this way. I have noticed that if people are real mental, they just have a hard time unhooking from that and getting hooked up to this, which the Word is talking about here. But it will bless your life immeasurably to make that switch. Because all the answers you're needing, all your mind's up here going, what do I do? What about it? And you got things you're trying to understand. The answer is just 18 inches below your nose. It's so close. And yet so far away for so many people. Seems like it's the longest journey of many Christians' lives to unhook from here and get hooked up down here. But we can do it. We must be able to do it because Paul said do it. Let me rephrase that. God said do it. God said do it. Well, I don't know what to say. Exactly. It takes faith. Just like when you first started speaking in tongues. See, you got to trust the Holy Ghost for the next thing that He's going to give you when you speak with tongues. You don't know what you're going to say next, but you trust the Holy Ghost to give it to you. Same thing here. You trust the Holy Ghost to give you the next thing. When I speak it, and I do a lot in my own private prayer life. Pastor Debbie does it in both places, in private and then here at the service. I've done it a bit in services, but whenever I do it in my private prayer life, I don't know what's coming next. But I'm getting more and more proficient at this. And I'm just getting more proficient at it, I guess is the word. You know, some people, they say, well, so-and-so is really anointed in that area. Anointed to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Many times, it's not that they are anointed, it's that they are proficient. They have yielded to this until they have developed in the flow of it and they're better at getting in the river. They're better at using their faith. It's a progression. You might start out and you're kind of stumbling through it. It's just a little bit like starting out in things in the natural. You kind of, okay, how do I do this? And you do it wrong the first time and so forth and so on. But as you do it over and over again, you close your eyes and just keep on. Because you've gotten proficient at it. You know, and that's the way spiritual things can be as well. It's like learning to ride a bike. You can, at first when a child starts learning to ride a bike, it's all difficult. It's like, this is hard. Once you learn it, it's not hard at all. But you got to get into the flow of it. And that's the way these things are. You got to get into the flow of it. Hallelujah. And you can do it. Practice in your own private prayer life. Whenever you stumble and bumble, nobody's there to hear you. If you're going to do it in the public service, we would prefer that you get proficient on your own, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm going to get more proficient. You get better at yielding to the Spirit. Isn't that right? You yield with more faith. Isn't that right? People develop their faith and they start out. One of the first things to start out to get into this flow, which is for all of us. See, don't ever let's get that away from you. It's for all of us. The first thing you have to do, first thing you have to use your faith for to get into this flow is to unhook your mind, unhook your tongue to your mind. Let me say it again. Unhook your tongue from your mind and get it hooked up down here. That might be where you kind of stumble at first. But once you get it hooked up down here, you'll find, whoa, there was a flow to that. And it's an edifying flow. I'm thinking of one time I got into this. I do it regularly, but I remember one time I was really going through, really beating myself up about a situation that I had failed in. Not morally, I'm talking about a financial situation. And I'm beating myself up about it. And I'm in prayer one day and I just started drawing this up. And out of my own mouth came the sweetest, most hit the mark encouragement that lifted that condemnation off of me than any human being could have done by, speaking the right word. Remember the Bible talks about speaking a word in season to him that's weary. Any human being that could have yielded to the Spirit could not have said it better than the Holy Ghost said it through my own mouth. I wept and wept and wept, went and got a box of hankies and wept and blew. I mean, that's how much it blessed me. Amen. The Lord knows how to do what, and take care of you and to put his finger exactly where it hurts, exactly where the devil's beating you up. He knows how to give you your answer. Much better than any man, any human, any person that really loves you and wants to help you can ever do. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I've just been encouraged. Some of you, I'm thinking of one person right now. I don't want to embarrass them. They came to me a while back and they said that I finally realized what keeps tripping me up. Just through my fellowship with God, I finally realized I'm like, glory to God.
Amen.
How many of you know he knows how to say it in a way that it gets that we get it? Before that, somebody could have told us that and we're like, okay. And we wouldn't have got it. But the Holy Ghost, I mean, he knows exactly how to say it to where we get it. Glory be to God. So let's get proficient at this flow. What do you say? Let's get into deeper and deeper measures of this. Remember the prophet in the Old Testament? The angel measured out 1,000 cubits and came and took him and it was ankle deep. And then he measured further and it was knee deep. And then waist deep. Another 1,000, it was waters to swim in. See, there's deeper flows to this river. Let's get off the ankle deep banks. Thinking we've had wonderful time. And I don't even know that's better than the dry desert. Don't misunderstand me. But let's go on and keep on getting in. Into the flow of the Spirit where the deep waters are, where the fish and the supply and all you need and all the blessings of God are abundantly provided and easily abide you. And they come to you as if it were in a flow that was flowing your direction. Ha, ha, ha. So walk on and flow on and move on and come out into where I am, says the Lord, and you'll experience all that your heart desires, and even all the miraculous, and even answers for troubles and problems, and even the light that needs to be shined on your pathway. It will all shine and it'll all come clear, and you'll find yourself standing in the orb of God's blessings that you knew in your heart were available. And now here you stand in the fullness of His plan, in the fullness of His will, edified and being a great blessing to many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. So you can stand with me to your feet. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:1, he said, King James says there, he said, I don't want you, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Spirituals, I mean, in the Greek it says spirituals, things that pertain to the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what he said? I don't want you to be ignorant about things that pertain to the Holy Ghost. One thing we must not be ignorant about when it comes to these things that pertain to the Holy Ghost is that spiritual things have to be stirred to come into manifestation. Amen. That's what Paul was talking about to Timothy. Stir up the gift of God. Why do I not experience more of this, Pastor? Because the stirring is our responsibility.
Yes, sir.
There's realms that we've got to explore in this. When the United States was first discovered, they came over here exploring, going down rivers, looking at mountains, and figuring out how this land was, what kind of resources were here, and all that. They had to explore it. Isn't that right? Well, there's realms of the Spirit that we've got to explore.
That's right.
Amen. Get on out there and start finding out what's out there.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, as I've explored this, I found out that all my answers, I knew this in my head, but how many of you know you get it? You, there's a head knowledge, then there's an experiential knowledge. That all my answers live right on the inside of me.
Amen.
Everything I need. Glory.
Hallelujah.
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 But we've got to understand it takes us stirring them up before they come into manifestation.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
Glory.
I said, glory be to God.
Glory.
So tell your neighbor, did you see that verse there this morning? Did you see that yield sign beside that verse there this morning? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. You can be on Feeling Boulevard. You know what I'm talking about? Emotional Street. You know what I'm talking about? Mental Avenue. And you're like, man, I need some answers. And you look up, there's a yield sign. Man, I want to get off Feeling Boulevard. I'm telling you what. He goes, yield to this.
Glory!
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. There's an exit from some of those streets, aren't there? Yeah, and there's an entrance into this flow. Glory to God. Every test and trial has a verse by it with a yield sign. Think about that. You don't let that get away from you. Every situation, God's got you covered. From one side of your life to the other. Anything that comes up, there's a verse for it, and there's a yield sign by it. So, for the rest of your life, you got it made. Isn't that right? Well, what about this? And you pray in tongues of mouth, and the Holy Ghost reminds you of a verse. Oh, yeah. Oh. And then he says, you see that blinking? Yeah, what's that? Oh, yield here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Well, did you get anything out of the word?
Yes, sir.
You won't forget that, will you?
No, sir.
Yield. You might want to go home and put up a big yield sign on your whatever, somewhere in your house where you see it.
Amen.
Not on your refrigerator. Don't put it on your refrigerator. No, put it somewhere where you know what it's referring to. Yield to this verse. Yield to that verse. Amen. Well, tell your neighbor, I'm going to yield until I see you next time. Praise God. You all got something you want to sing? Somebody got something they want to sing? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Well, that's just a habit with you. Praise the Lord. Thank God. That's just a habit. Yeah, it's a better one than I used to have.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on, go ahead.
I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I dip down and draw it out. I yield myself to the Word of God. I dip down and draw it out. It is an easy flow. Just yield within. Just speak the word to that situation. Just yield yourself. Just yield within. Just dip down on the inside and speak to it. And it's easy. Oh, just yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Just dip down, yield to Him. Just dip down in to the Holy Ghost. Yield to Him. It is an easy flow. Just speak the word. Just speak to that situation. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. I yield myself the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. And that situation will change. Oh, just speak the word. Speak it directly at it, and your situation will change. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. I yield myself. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. Just yield yourself. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to Him. Just speak the word. Just speak the word.
Just speak the word.
And your situation will change. Just speak the word.
Just speak the word.
Just speak the word.
Just speak the word.
And your situation will change.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.